The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. It's a wonderful word, the word compassion. It comes from two Latin words, compatio. What it really does mean is to identify very closely with the life of another person, so often a person that is suffering. And remember how Jesus himself told us, you know, on the last day, when he separates the goats from the sheep, he will say to the sheep, I was sick and you came and visited me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. And Lord, Lord, when did we ever say these things to you? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say to you, as much as you have done them for my brothers and sisters, you have done them for me. Oh, how great is your compassion, faithful Father, God of grace, that with all our fallen race and our depth of degradation, when all we like sheep had gone astray and turned his own way, when the sinful flesh was in control of our human makeup, when we would perhaps get up and go through the motions of each day without ever taking time to examine our own lives in light of the Ten Commandments, when we heard the call of the Lord Jesus Christ to repent and believe the gospel, it's easy to let it go in one ear and out the other. But remember how the Savior said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, that you might be able to live securely, knowing that the person who has built his or her house on the rock, even though for Christians as well as everybody else, the storms of life come, unemployment, illness, sometimes divorce, sometimes children whom you've done your best to raise in the fear and nurture and admonition of the Lord, but have somehow slipped off the path that is Christ, the way of life for all the living. Where do we go to find renewed sustenance? I love that Old Testament lesson, come to me, all of you. Even if you don't have any money, come and eat of the food and drink of the wine and the milk, because there's something about being in direct relationship with the Lord God Almighty, who promises to fill us with the Holy Spirit, that as we come here, why do we come here to some degree? Because this is a place where the Lord God sustains us. He fills us with sustenance. He reassures us that sins are all forgiven. He brings to the brightness of our existence the sure hope of life everlasting. Oh, how great is your compassion, faithful Father, God of grace, that with all our fallen race and our depth of degradation, you had mercy so that we might be saved eternally. Unless a man be born again of water and the Spirit, he can in no way enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So have we come today in response to the Holy Spirit's urgings with our cups empty? Have we come to the Lord's table today with prayers of thanksgiving, believing the promise, as Jesus said, it's not just a piece of bread, though the bread is there, it's his very body that he broke unto death on the cross that we might die to sin and live to God, that the wine that we drink is his very blood, he said. And did you catch that in the second verse of that hymn we just sang? To his supper calls us all. Jesus was 30 years old when he began his ministry, when he was led by the Holy Spirit down there to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. John was reluctant to do so, not necessarily because at that point he had come to believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, but because they had grown up in each other's circles. Let's remember that Mary and Elizabeth, their mothers, were first cousins, which made of Jesus and John the Baptist second cousins. You come to me for me to baptize you? Heavens! Should be the other way around. Jesus said, you should be baptizing me. But he said, let it be so for now, in order to fulfill all righteousness. Every single thing that God has ever asked you and you and you and me and others throughout the world to do, he's fulfilled for us in the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here Jesus was. He had just received the horrible news that Herod Antipas had had John the Baptist executed at Macarius, which was about 4 miles away from Jerusalem, a place where he had a palace, but he also had a dungeon there. You remember what caused the execution, because Herod had enticed his brother Philip's wife, Herodias, to leave her husband and come live in union with him. John the Baptist, he called a spade a spade. He was arrested, but remember at the end of the birthday party that Herod Antipas had thrown for himself, the stepdaughter Salome, who must have done a bang-up job with that sexually provocative dance. Lady, dear girl, ask me for whatever you want, even up to one half of my kingdom, and I'll give it to you. And I always thought this young girl was being rather prudent and wise, that she took out time to consult her mother. Mother, what should I ask for? A new sports car, or, well, one of those Viking cruises down the Rhine, or, well, probably not just yet, but jewels for a fantastic husband, with whom I might marry and have the most wonderful life and be blessed with. The mother said to the daughter, you go back to Herod and tell him what you want is the head of John the Baptist on a platter, which she did receive. We live in a world where shocking things like that happen everywhere, day by day. But if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who, through Christ, Jesus said, let's get into the boat and go over the northern end of the Sea of Tiberias, also known as the Sea of Galilee, also known as the Lake of Gennesaret. The wind must have been blowing against the ship rather than filling the sails in the direction of a westward direction in which they wanted to go, because by the time they got there, the crowd was already there. You know, Jesus says, Mark chapter 6, with respect to that whole episode, let's just go by ourselves away for a while and rest for a while. Let's come up and hear all these people. But it says Jesus had compassion on them. And you know, it is the only miracle of all of Jesus' miracles that's recorded for us in each of the four gospel accounts. It tells us something about how important it was in the life of the early church. But it was not the first miracle. The first miracle, according to John chapter 2, was when Jesus came back from that desert experience totally victorious over Satan. His mother said, we're invited to a wedding about 4.3 miles northeast of where we're living here in Nazareth, in a place called Cana. Maybe it was one of Jesus' relatives through Mary and Joseph. Seems as if she had a lot of responsibility. We do know that wedding feasts in that Palestinian culture lasted between 7 days, maybe as many as 10 days. And the last thing you ever wanted to happen was for the food supply to run low or the wine to run out. And that's exactly what happened. And initially, when she comes to Jesus and says, "They have no more wine," Jesus was reluctant to help her. "Woman, why are you involving me? My time has not yet come." But Jesus, who kept the law of God perfectly, and indeed was the perfect Son, found a way to supply 120, 130 gallons of wine, you know, and they took some after the water had been turned into wine, and those 6 ceremonial jars that had been stationed out in front of the place where the reception was being held, they took it to the master of ceremonies, and boy, was he pleased. He says, "You know, most people serve the best wine first, and then when that's depleted, then they bring out the cheap stuff. But you've saved the best for last." You ever stop to think about that with respect to our earthly journey, and that even though we go through various kinds of difficulty, pain, and heartache, like Jesus said, in the world you have much tribulation, but in your life, in your life, in your life, my dear brother, my dear sister, and for me too, and my wife, I believe the Lord is saving the best for last. Jesus took the 5 barley loaves, 2 fish that Andrew was able to rustle up. What are they among so many? But the more they passed it out, the more it multiplied, and everybody was satisfied. And it's all because Jesus had compassion on them. Faith without works is dead. Of course, we want to preach, above all, the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God who fulfilled all righteousness for us. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. But he's a God of compassion. I like the story. It's a true story. I remember hearing about Colonel Sanders of Kentucky Fried Chicken fame. You know, he was born in 1890. He died in 1980 when he was 90 years old. But he had started a restaurant chain of fried chicken, which is still the largest dispensary of food around the world, second largest only to McDonald's. I checked it out the other day. Apparently, he had stepped on an airplane one day. He was taking a business flight from California to Missouri. And this was some years ago, and there was a lady who was on the flight with a new baby, maybe a couple of months old, and maybe the baby was teething, I don't know. It just kept crying and crying and crying. And so one of the dear beloved flight attendants, a woman, said, "Let me hold that baby. Let me see if I can calm that baby down." And she tried, but all to no avail, who was then handed off to the other flight attendant, except back in those days we used to call them stewardesses. Nope. Colonel Sanders said, "Let me have that baby." And even though the chairs on a jet airliner do not rock, he somehow was able to rock back and forth with the baby in his arms that soon went to sleep. And after the flight was ended, he continued to sit there, and all these passengers said, "Thank you, thank you, thank you for what you did. Thank you for calming down the baby. You know, we were able to enjoy our flight a lot more in a spirit of serenity," and the like that. And you know what Colonel Sanders said? "I didn't do that for you. I did that for the baby." And what I'm going to close with is that as much as we love to talk about the love of God and Jesus Christ and sing about it and do all that and come to Bible class and worship and all that's 100% great, there are times when we need as individuals to spot some other individual in our congregation that's going through a difficult time and sacrifice some of our time and energy to be there for them, to genuinely be there for them. And why? To pass it on. To pass on to one another the great compassion of our God. Shown above all at the cross of Calvary, vindicated with the miracle of the resurrection. May God enable all of us to share his love as he so leads us by his Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Let's